You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back on Get Up. And meanwhile, yesterday here on planet Earth, Tom Brady finally admits something we all knew to be true.
You guys remember this one? Fourth quarter, last chance in Chicago. I thought it was the second to last chance in Chicago, but apparently not. I don't think I've ever been as confused as I am in this moment right here. Look at that face.
Jeff Saturday? Oh, here you are, over here. What? You've been over there all morning long. What'd you think of that? He finally admits it. He wanted a fifth down. He didn't know what down it was.
Listen, you just put your seventh ring on. What's the worry, right? Fourth down, third down, you know, made a mistake. What else am I going to say? Pretty self-effacing. I'd say if the season didn't turn out that way, I'm not sure if he'd be nearly as fun about it, but it was fantastic to watch him and describe the confusion on his face. That was absolutely beautiful.
I think that's exactly right. That's one of those that you admit after you win the Super Bowl, not before.
That's and
with
right.
That, we rack up a new hour here of Get Up, as always, coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City. We are brought to you by Chase, and we are jam-packed. Here we come with the menu for hour number two. It's time to get up with final bows. This young star took one on Broadway. Will LeBron's Lakers bow out tonight? Then, his team is back on the field, but still no sign of Aaron. We'll tell you exactly how everything changed in this superstar stare down. And then, any minute now, one team will make the call that could change everything. We're on Julio Watch as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the night and the performance of the night from Luka Doncic. Mavs, Clippers, Game 5, series tied at 2. We're in L.A. and Luka Doncic was spectacular all night long. Fourth quarter, Mavs a four-point lead. Luka sizing it up and unstoppable. He had 42 points on the night, plus 14 assists, including this one for Porzingis in the corner. Porzingis had a quiet night, but the Mavs had a 10-point lead. About a minute and a half left. Clippers down by 7. Marcus Morris not going away. Those are 3 of his 16. It's a 4-point game. Later, same score. Kawhi, he would score 20. 3 of them coming here after the free throw. It's a 1-point game. Ensuing Mavs possession. Whatever you do, don't turn it over. Whatever you do, don't turn it over. We're going the other way. Paul George, down by 1. Closing possession. Gonna give it up. Nicholas Batum. What have you got? Oh, it's that close. But it doesn't fall. Clippers forced a foul. Mavs would make both. 3-point game. Rondo inbounding. Kawhi Leonard in the corner for the tie. And it's no good. And Luka's 42 are enough. Mavericks get the win. No home team has won a game in this series. 105-100 Dallas, a 3-2 series lead. Meanwhile, Madison Square Garden last night. Knicks trying to stave off elimination against Trae Young and the Hawks. This whole series has been chippy. End of the half. Trae Young and Nerlens Noel saying a little hello. How we doing here? In total, 3 texts, 1 flagrant, 16 personals given out on the first half. Atlanta, a 5-point halftime lead, and then they owned the third quarter in this series. And once again, they would use that period to put it away. That's Clint Capella. He had 14 points, 15 boards. That's Bogdanovich with a 3. Atlanta pulling away. And here comes Trae Young with the range. Hawks up 12 after 3 quarters. Trae would score 36 points, 18 of them in the fourth. Here's Young, a little blow by, scoop it up off the glass, and then telling the Garden crowd, you know, I'm sending you all home unhappy tonight. Right, here we go. Hawks now closing minute. Fans trying to get excited, but when you're the star on Broadway, you get to take a bow. Trae Young and the Hawks advance, knocking the Knicks out in 5.
I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over.
So he takes that bow on Broadway. Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe, our favorite odd couple, are back. Kendrick Perkins, what is Trae Young in the NBA at this minute coming off these 5 games?
He's a superstar, Greeny. And look, he's been a superstar all his life. Think about it. He was one of the most watched college players. In the regular season, he averaged 25-9. In this postseason, he performed under the biggest stage, and he did it in great fashion. My grandfather always told me, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And he was a killer. Don't let this little smile and the good half fool you. This man is called Ice Trey for a reason. He has ice water running through his veins, and we've seen a sample size.
And Zach Lowe giving you the little move there. So let's look at this. Let's forward here. The entire Eastern Conference first round is done, Zach. Atlanta will get Philadelphia. The Sixers with a banged up Joel Embiid. Is Trae Young on his way to the conference final? Give us a sneak preview.
If Joel Embiid can't go in this series or he's very limited, the Hawks absolutely have a chance. In fact, if he can't go, I think they're probably a better fit than 50-50 proposition to make the conference finals, which is crazy to think about. But if Joel Embiid can go and he's 75% or more, the Sixers should win this series and go to the conference finals.
What do you think, Big Perk?
Look, if Joel Embiid is not 100%, the Hawks is winning this series. And here's why. Clint Capella is a guy that flies under the radar. This is a guy that is battle-tested, that has been through multiple wars, and when he was with the Rockets facing a super team. He is not afraid of the moment. And when you look at this Atlanta Hawks team, they are well-coached. They have a lot of offensive firepower with Trae Young, Bogdanovich, Collins, Hunter, Lemon Pepper Lou. I mean, the list goes on. So if Embiid is not 100%, the Hawks definitely is winning this series.
Okay, so again, the entire Eastern Conference is set for round two. Three of the four series still alive in the West, including the Lakers and Suns. L.A. at home tonight. Anthony Davis on his status yesterday.
It was tough, you know, especially last night, you know, watching the game and, you know, not being able to help the team on the floor. It's the toughest part. I can't contribute. My body just wouldn't allow me to. Like I said, as far as tomorrow, I obviously want to. I'm still waiting to get medically cleared, you know, with the groin. I'm doing everything, you know, treatment around the clock and, you know, see if, you know, everything is green for me to go on the court tomorrow.
Big Perk, if Anthony Davis can't play tonight or is significantly limited, are LeBron's Lakers going home in game six?
No, they're not. And look, Greeny, listen to this. The last great to put on a Lakers uniform was the late, great Kobe Bryant. And that's the mentality LeBron James got to have tonight. And I think he's going to have it. He has to come out and be ultimate aggressive. He has to have that Mamba kill mentality and put this Laker organization on his shoulders. He said this is what his shoulders are built for moments like this, and I believe him. He's going to come out in great fashion tonight. The role players just need to play a little better. But LeBron James is going to perform at an extremely high level and get this game six tonight.
So, Zach, give me like a glimpse of what the box score will look like tomorrow for LeBron. If we're sitting here talking about the Lakers winning this game, what are the numbers LeBron's going to have to put up tonight?
The greatest game of LeBron's career is probably a game six with his teams back against the wall in Boston in 2012. I think LeBron will summon whatever his high ankle sprain, whatever his leg allows him to summon. So I'm thinking something like 28-11-9, and enough, like Perk said, from the role players who stunk it up in game five to force the young Suns to close it out in a game seven at home under pressure.
All right, that would be something else. Obviously, enormous pressure would then shift to Phoenix. We'll see how that winds up going there, but our favorite Odd Couple will be back to break it down. We know that. It's Zach Lowe and Big Perk. Thank you both, fellas. It is a pleasure, as always. Meanwhile, we are also sitting here on Julio Watch all morning long. A trade could come any minute of the 32-year-old star receiver who will be dealt before the Falcons open mandatory minicamp next week. That is the overwhelming expectation. First-year head coach Arthur Smith was asked about where things stand.
We have conversations all the time with all our players. There's good communication going back and forth through multiple avenues. So we'll see what happens next week and where we're at, you know. So I can answer that for you next week.
All right. By next week, the expectation, of course, is that he will have been dealt. Julio limited to just 9 games last year. He last played all 16 games in a season quite some time ago. He's done it just 4 times in his career. The 32-year-old ranks 20th on the NFL's all-time receiving list, despite only playing in 135 career games. So I guess the question, Chris Canty, is he worth giving up what someone's going to give up for him? Is Julio Jones a player who next year could be the difference in some team making it to the Super Bowl?
Oh, he absolutely is, Greeny. I mean, there are no questions about Julio Jones outside of the injury concerns. And he only played in 9 games last year. But even with that small sample size, he was still able to find himself in the top 20 in broken tackles on receptions. And that's a group that includes tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs. So he's still a threat for yards after catch. And also in the 6 seasons prior to 2020, he was a guy that was 1,400 yards receiving or more in each one of those seasons while only missing a combined 4 games. So, yeah, Julio Jones is worth giving up a high draft pick. He could be the difference in a team being just a team that sneaks into the playoff to a team that could be a true title contender.
Well, Kimberly, I mean, you were saying the other day, though, that those, pardon me, are the concerns that teams out there have. You're talking about his age. You're talking about that injury history. That is a legitimate concern. What do you hear from people around the sport, Kimberly?
Yeah, no, and the salary. Listen, I think there's a difference between the question of whether Julio is a talented number one wideout who could impact a roster versus if you're a GM and you have to gauge whether he's worth it, whether it's worth it to the organization to bring him in, to commit this kind of money to a 32-year-old who does have injury history. I think those are two separate things. If it's your job, your team, your reputation, your draft capital, is that something you want to do? Clearly, he's a phenomenal player, but you also have to be mindful of the age and the injury, because you can't say, because here's the caveat. It's if Julio is healthy, he's money. Whoever he goes to, they're golden. If he's healthy, that's a right. Huge caveat.
Now, so Jeff, how do you see it?
Yeah, listen, he'd be perfect in a place like San Francisco, right, where he's going to be complimentary. Or we talked about Tennessee earlier, right, where he compliments A.J. Brown. He's not the guy you're going to go in. He's going to be year one. He's your guy going all the time. So when you talk about him in that perspective, could he push those teams into true contending for a Super Bowl? That's what you're looking for. If you're a GM, you know whether you give up a second-round pick or a third-round pick for Julio, it's worth it to push you over. He's not a guy you're going to build around. And here's the thing. You have to know coming in, with the limited amount of games he's played, that also means practice time is going to be missed. So understanding how does he fit from Monday through Saturday as well as game days, all of that plays into the culture of your building. Are you strong enough for your young guys to watch that, still want to come out and produce and practice and do those things? That all goes into the general manager's conversation with the head coach of what can they tolerate. But once he gets there, he is a dude. Do not mistaken, because he's been injured, he can't make plays. He can make plays. He makes plays before the catch and after the catch. It's just he needs to be an addition to a team to really push them into contending.
Chris.
The reason why I say Julio is still a number one receiver is because if he's lined up outside of the numbers, you got to account for him with two defenders. It can't just be one guy. And because he can dictate front and coverage, that's where the real value is in adding Julio Jones, especially if you're a team that's already a playoff caliber squad. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If it's talking about giving up a first-round draft pick, you go ahead and pay that premium. You pay the salary coming from the Atlanta Falcons just because you know that he represents the difference between your team being a true title contender versus not.
Okay. Kimberly is working the phones all morning long. We're expecting something on this potentially as soon as today. Meanwhile, the other situation in the NFL we have our eyes on, what happens if Aaron Rodgers continues to be a no-show? We'll tell you why everything has suddenly changed in Green Bay. Plus, sneaky big news, what the Ravens have decided to do that could spell big changes for their quarterback. Will it work? We'll answer that question as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back to football with the story of the offseason, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This week, Rodgers again, a no-show for OTAs. Yesterday, head coach Matt LaFleur was asked for an update on the situation.
Yeah, I've got nothing to update, Rob, on that situation. And you guys all know how we feel about it.
Do you expect him to be here? It is mandatory.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see come Tuesday.
And so here's Rob. That's the man to whom he was talking when he said, I've got nothing for you, Rob. But when you ask a question and someone says, I've got nothing for you, it's always an interesting place to be. Where are we today? What is the feeling around Green Bay in regards to Aaron Rodgers' absence?
Greeny, the feeling is that there's no way he shows up next week for mandatory minicamp, and here's why. He's already missed out on $500,000 in his workout bonus. So what's another $93,000 that they would fine him for mandatory minicamp, right? I mean, it's nothing after already missing out on $500,000 bonus. So, you know, we all talked about the key date being June 8th, which is next Tuesday in the start of camp, but until something changes, I don't think that there's any reason to think that he will be here, and the team doesn't think that there's any reason that he will be here.
So what does that mean? When you say until anything changes, what's going to change? What are we waiting to see change? What is the tipping point that makes this thing go in one direction or the other?
Probably just the start of training camp is one thing, Greeny, that could change it. So we're talking like July 27th, which is the tentative date that things open, because that's when it gets serious. That's when it's, okay, now you're fined daily $50,000 a day if you don't show. If you miss a preseason game, you're fined a game check. That's when something has to happen. Nothing has to happen right now, but something has to happen come late July and early August.
All right, and then let's talk about Jordan Love. Kimberly Martin made the point on our program earlier that if there's a sort of a bright light in all of this, it is that he's out there and he's going to get all of the work and they'll get to see whatever it is they can in him. So what have they seen so far?
It's the spring and summer of Jordan Love, to be sure, as quarterback number one, Greeny, which is a huge jump from where he was last year as the third quarterback behind Rodgers and Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle is now gone, so it's Love, Love, Love. But here's the thing. There's been some signs of progress. We saw it last week in the first OTA. But yesterday when we were out on the field, it was a lot of checkdowns, little short passes. And we all wondered if that was a sign that he's not comfortable throwing the ball down the field. Matt LaFleur said it's more of a sign that he's learning to go through his progressions. But at some point as a quarterback, Greeny, you've got to throw the ball down the field. Now, his good friend on the team, A.J. Dillon, the running back that came in with him last year, told us that it's cool to see Love out there having fun and doing what he was brought here to do. The thing is, no one thought he was brought here to do it in 2021. We'll see if he's really ready for that.
Summer of Love, that takes on a whole different meaning this year. Rob Domofsky always has something for us, even if the coach has nothing for him. Thank you, Rob. Outstanding work, as always. Let me bring the rest of the crew in here, and let's see if we can – I mean, like Jeff, he's talking about when they actually reach a tipping point. So it isn't this week, and we don't expect it to be next week. Do you, Jeff, knowing human nature and knowing Aaron to the degree that you do you expect that to change in July?
I do. Listen, I think he's so competitive, man. I mean, he already proved last year winning the MVP after they draft Jordan Love, kind of what that experience is going to look like. I think when he sees his guys out there playing, he's going to miss it, man. He's a competitive guy. He wants to go out there and show. I do think there'll be some other changes, maybe being able to push out his other 2 years, canceling those if he decides to play for the Packers this year, and then being able to have a mutual split the following. But listen, players want to play. He understands his age. He also understands how good this team is. I mean, this team is right on the cusp the last 2 years of going to the Super Bowl. If David Bakhtiari was healthy, their left tackle against the Buccaneers, we might be talking about them playing in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, this is a very good football team. It is his best chance to win a Super Bowl next year and the Packers' best chance. At some point, they got to get together. It will be late, though. It will be July and August before there's any pressure to make that move.
Kimberly, is that the expectation you hear around the league, that when push comes to shove, he will play for the Packers this season?
Yeah, because people around the league, they see the Packers having all the leverage. As much as we think Aaron Rodgers being a future Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, if he says, I'm done, I'm never playing here, that should be the end of the story. executives don't think so. They don't expect Green Bay to trade him. Why? Because he's a future Hall of Famer and he's under contract. So Green Bay, from their position, they can sit back and wait. They have the luxury of time. Aaron's the one who's not showing up. All right, now it's voluntary, but if he doesn't show up next week, which we don't expect him to, then he's the one taking the action of taking it a step further. We're going to see how far he's willing to take it, but no one around the league expects Aaron Rodgers not to suit up in a Packers uniform in 2021.
So here's the way I'm looking at this, because the leverage that any player has is withholding services. And I know that it is apples to oranges on some level, but we saw Jamal Adams wanted out and made himself difficult enough that the Jets had no choice but to trade him. Jalen Ramsey wanted out and made himself so difficult that Jacksonville had no choice but to trade him. Aaron Rodgers, simply by virtue of holding out, the minute training camp begins, that becomes a circus in Green Bay, right? Every single day. How does the football team function if every single day you're waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers shows up? So how do you see the leverage in the situation, Chris Canty?
Well, because of the things that you just outlined, I think it makes it next to impossible for the football team to function. How can Matt LaFleur move the program forward with the distraction looming over the entire organization of whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to show up and play for them this season? But to what Kimberly and to what Jeff Saturday said, I do believe that it represents the best chance for Aaron Rodgers to compete at the highest level if he goes back to Green Bay. Because if you're a quarterback, you got to think, if you wanted to switch teams, if you were adamant about not playing for the Packers, then you would probably want the organization to make a move earlier rather than later, because you want to have the opportunity for OTAs. You want to have the opportunity for minicamp. You want a full training camp to be able to work with your personnel. The fact that he's not going to have that chance leads me to believe that the relationship between him and the Packers is not at a stage where it's irreconcilable. I think Aaron Rodgers ends up playing for the Pack this season because it represents for him the best chance to compete at the highest level.
I mean, that would really be something. If he just, after all of this, knowing his personality and his history, the way it has worked, for him to just come back and say, okay, you know what, when push comes to shove, I'm going to show up and play with my guys. That would surprise me. Maybe it won't surprise anybody else, but it would surprise me. Allie, where am I going from here? I'm not sure I understand what you're telling me to do. Okay, as we continue in just a moment, the defending champs are on the brink of elimination. What LeBron has to do tonight to save the Lakers season, we'll talk about that in just a moment. And we'll talk about Trae Young taking a final bow at Madison Square Garden. Is he the next Steph Curry? We'll ask that question to Jalen Rose, who will join us live next. And we'll ask him this question from Sneaky Hembo. Over the last 20 years, what is the only NBA franchise with fewer playoff wins than the Knicks? That's the question. We'll see if Jalen Rose can answer it as he joins us live next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and it's my favorite part of the day when Jalen Rose goes head-to-head with Hembo, and here's the question. Over the last 20 years, Jay, who is the only NBA franchise? Which is the only NBA franchise with fewer playoff wins than the Knicks?
How about the Minnesota Timberwolves?
That is incorrect. The Timberwolves have actually won 13 games over the last 20 years in the playoffs, which is not very many. But the Hornets won 7. The Hornets have won 7. The Knicks have won 8. The T-Wolves were next, having won 13. All right, man. Score that one for Hembo. Meanwhile, here were the scores last night as we run the floor. A bizarre series. No home team has won a game. Mavs beat the Clippers last night in L.A., 105-100. So Dallas up 3-2. Luka Doncic was ridiculous. 42 points, 14 assists. They can put that away Friday night. To the West, Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, leading the Jazz to a Game 5 and series-clinching win against the Grizzlies, 126-110. Jazz will await the winner of Clips and Mavs. In the East, no Embiid, no problem for the Sixers. They beat and close out their series with Washington, 129-112. Seth Curry leading the way with 30. Ben Simmons adding a triple-double for the win. Sixers will now play Atlanta. Last night, Trae Young taking a final bow at Madison Square Garden as the Hawks eliminate the Knicks. Young was spectacular, 36 points, 18 of those in the fourth quarter, and he really emerged. And Jalen Rose, of course, Jalen and Jacoby every single day here on ESPN and the star of all of our NBA coverage. So, Jalen, I'm hearing people say Trae Young is the next Steph Curry. What do you think?
I know why they say that. They both are terrific guards, and they do it vastly different, however, Greeny. The thing that they have in common that's unusual is that they're both what I consider four-layer scorers. That means, like Dame Lillard, those two guys are shooting from the logo. So that just elongates your defense in a different way than other players can do. But let me talk about the differences, because I think they're more different than people realize. Steph Curry is terrific in playing and moving off the ball, a la Reggie Miller, a la Ray Allen. Trae Young is a terrific playmaker and ball handler. He noticed that he initiates offense for his team, and he's required to be their primary ball handler and also lead them in assists. That's why you'll see Trae with the 30 and 10 games. So they're so much alike, but they're so very different. And here's something else. They both have runners. They both have floaters. Trae Young's goal is to be the villain. Ice Trae. Mm-hmm. He has the crowd booing him. He has the crowd chanting against him. When Steph Curry's putting up 50 in the Garden, they're cheering for him. So it's vastly different how they both approach the game mentally. But either way, they both are terrific performers. But when you say the next Steph Curry, here's what you're really getting to. Can Trae Young be an MVP candidate? Yes. Can Trae Young be a superstar and lead the Atlanta Hawks out of the East one day? Absolutely.
Okay, I like that. I like the comparison a lot, and I think you're right, particularly the whole idea about one of them being the villain and one of them being the friendly hero. Meanwhile, it's the Knicks that he knocks out, and the Knicks had a really good season this year, but a lot of their flaws were very much on display in this five-game series. Is there a move the Knicks can make this offseason, Jalen Rose, that will make them a legit contender?
You're not going to want to hear this, Knicks fans. You're not going to want to hear this. You overachieved this year. It was a 72-game season. You had a high 4-5 seed. You got beat by a Hawks team that's more talented and is actually on their second coach this year. And Himbo gave me a stat. On March 1st, the Hawks fired their coach, Lloyd Pierce. They're 31-12 since that date. That's the same record as the Philadelphia 76ers. Hmm. So if you're the Knicks, nothing knee-jerk. Exercise patience. There's always going to be a great player that gets disgruntled with his situation and or wants change. A couple of years ago, just think about it. Kyrie Irving told the Celtics he wanted to be there. Kevin Durant was a member of the Golden State Warriors playing with the Splash Brothers. A couple of years later, they both end up with the Nets. So if you're the Knicks, exercise patience, continue to develop your roster, continue to build around Randle, continue to develop RJ Barrett, continue to allow Quickley to grow, get Mitchell Robinson back, build from within, allow Toppin to grow, and then when a player gets disgruntled or a superstar gets unhappy, that's when you make your move.
Okay, so we'll see. Telling the Knicks fans, it's going to take a little more time. Meanwhile, no time to wait for the Lakers. They play their game 6 tonight, Jalen. I want to phrase the question this way. Does Anthony Davis have to play tonight and be effective for the Lakers to win?
No, because your role players may play better at home. And Dennis Schroeder and KCP will play a lot better. So will Kyle Kuzma. The bigs will get involved. You'll see Drummond catching lobs, have double-digit boards. You'll see Marc Gasol making threes. Like, they will play better on their home floor. But that doesn't exclude what LeBron James needs to do. And so I saw LeBron basically de-escalate himself the last couple of games. There are possessions where it's 4-on-5 by the Suns. There are possessions where LeBron necessarily wasn't attacking. What he was doing, Greeny, he was pacing himself. That's why LeBron James left the game at like 5 or 6 minutes to go in the previous game. He already started his routine to get ready for tonight's game. And I don't anticipate LeBron to go out and score 40, but I do need him to be aggressive attacking the basket and be the LeBron that caught the lob off the backboard from Caruso. That's one of my favorite plays. We need LeBron to be in attack mode. We need him to be aggressive, but I do need 35 points. It can't just be 25 points and 7 assists. LeBron got to be aggressive. He got to set the tone like you saw Jason Tatum do when the Celtics took a win from the Nets, like you're seeing Damian Lillard do when they're trying to advance against the Nuggets. Your best player can be a scorer like LeBron is, but also he got to be a bucket, and that's 30 points at least.
So I want to finish it by asking you this. Here we are talking about, can the Lakers find a way to get out of the first round? As you watch them right now, are they a legit threat still to win the championship this year?
Yes. I'm going to exercise what I told Knicks fans to do, is be patient, because they're still the defending world champions. You want to pay homage to the number two seed. That means the Phoenix Suns were better this regular season. And also, Chris Paul left the game due to injury. So it really is going to hamper on who is the most healthy. If AD comes back and he performs in game 7, and it's 30-point AD, then they advance. But if AD returns, and I'm anticipating they win game 6 whether he plays or not. If AD returns game 7 and it's like 20 points and 7 rebounds, they won't win. It's that close, and it's going to be determined by AD's injury, Chris Paul's injury, and LeBron James' aggression, with the wild card being Devin Booker, who can upset the apple cart and just go out there and drop a couple of 35s and 40s and then send the Phoenix Suns into the next round.
The winner of this series will get the winner of Portland-Denver. That one, 3-2 Nuggets as we speak. Jalen Rose, Jalen Jacoby this afternoon and every afternoon. And, of course, the NBA coverage back on Friday night. The
Love you, my
best.
Brother.
Thank you, Jay. You're the best. Again, Friday night, I mentioned it. Oh, you're going to have game 6, Mavs and Clippers. What a series this has been. Home team hasn't won a game yet. L.A. on the brink of elimination. We'll see Jalen and company tip off 9 Eastern here on ESPN. Meanwhile, yesterday, a day for Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, who stands alone at the top of the college basketball mountain with 1,170 career wins, most by any men's or women's coach in NCAA history. He's won 5 national championships at Duke, second most by any head coach in Division I men's basketball history. Only John Wooden, generations before, ever won more. And Coach K also got his players ready for the NBA. More first-round picks than any other coach in draft history. 41 of those, and that includes our own Jay Williams, who shared his thoughts earlier with us here on Get Up.
I just have nothing but appreciation. I mean, look, all the accolades speak for themselves, right? The 5 national championships, the winningest coach of all time, the countless Final Fours, the countless ACC tournament and regular season championships. But this guy changes lives. And I know we say that about coaches, but the culture that he's been able to build there is so important.
There's a big part of me that just wants to say congratulations to Coach K on an amazing career, even though he's got one more year to go. But I'm really left more with a feeling of just thank you, that outside of my family, Coach K has been the most meaningful and impactful relationship in my life. And honestly, I don't know where I'd be without him. All I can really say is thank you for everything. And by everything, I mean everything, because that's what he's been in my life.
Mike's been fantastic for the game of basketball. He's been fantastic for college basketball. Been fantastic for the ACC, the greatest rivalry in sports, Duke, North Carolina basketball. He's been a good friend. He's been a guy I've respected a great deal. He made everybody bring their A game for years and years and years. You know, Vic Bubas and Dean Smith left, and Duke and North Carolina was still pretty good. And Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski leaving, it's still going to be pretty good in this area.
Well, we will hear from Coach K today at 11:30 Eastern time. He will hold a news conference, and First Take will take that live. So you will be able to hear Mike Krzyzewski with his thoughts on his pending retirement live 11:30 Eastern this morning here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up here on Get Up, the Ravens announce a big change for their quarterback. We'll tell you what that is and why they would make it public and if it's a good idea. All that next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back, and we got sneaky big news coming out of Baltimore. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson will work under center more this year after almost exclusively taking snaps from the pistol the last 3 years. This according to offensive coordinator Greg Roman. He said this yesterday, and here's the big number. Last season, Lamar was under center for just 4% of his snaps, 36 out of a possible 889. Since he took over as the starting quarterback in Baltimore midway through 2018, he's taken the fewest snaps under center among any quarterback with at least 10 starts. So they've never done this. Now they say they're going to do it. Jeff Saturday, what does it mean? When you hear that, when you hear Greg Roman saying, yeah, he's going to be under center more this year, what does it mean for Baltimore's offense? Yeah.
Love it. Deception everywhere, right? Think about how explosive this guy is receiving the ball in the shotgun. I mean, defenses see where the ball is all the time, and he still makes plays with his legs and with his arms. Now think about all the deception that can happen when his back is turned toward a defense. They have to pause. That brief hesitation will hopefully allow receivers to find openings. And for little, you know, rollouts, right, where all of a sudden you fake one way, you're rolling the other way, you can move the pocket, get better pocket protection. All of it sets up for better play action, down the field type strikes. I love that they're moving towards this and they're evolving their offense. Again, we talk about it all the time. Baltimore needs to evolve their passing offense to catch up with their run and be able to hide things like this. They're doing a great job in evolving this offense.
But so let's teach folks a little something here. For those of us who didn't play the game, Chris, when we say evolving, does this mean that this offense is going to look more like basically all the other offenses in the National Football League going forward?
Well, I don't think it's going to be standardized to that degree, but I do think, to Jeff's point, that you're going to have more opportunities for deception because you're talking about Lamar Jackson turning his back to the defense. Opposing defenses aren't used to seeing a Baltimore Ravens offense do that. They don't see that from the quarterback spot. And so when you have an offense that's predicated on being able to run the football, to have that kind of impact where the quarterback turns his back, all of those second-level defenders start rushing up to try to get to the line of scrimmage to have run support, and that creates a lot of voids on the back end of that defense and opportunities for explosive plays. And the reason why I think the Baltimore Ravens are moving in that direction, not only because I think it helps the offense evolve, but I also think it helps them answer the question about whether or not Lamar Jackson is going to be worth the price tag that they're going to have to pay him on a contract extension. I think that's also got to be a critical factor, because if you're going to play a guy $40-plus million a year, you want to make sure that the entire playbook is open to your offensive coordinator, and seeing whether or not Lamar Jackson can operate and play action in that fashion is going to be a big part of it.
Do you think that remains to some degree in doubt?
I think that's a part of it. I mean, Lamar Jackson is going to ask for the moons and the stars, and whether or not Baltimore pays him depends on whether or not we see his evolution as a passer, and that has to be a part of it.
Kimberly, why is this all a big deal?
Well, listen, any tweaks you can make to make this offense explosive, consistent, and balanced offensively is a no-brainer. You know, I covered the Ravens week one game against Cleveland, and the talk leading into that game, the season opener, was about Lamar, ready to take the next step, ready for to show fans and the media and everybody that, and other teams more importantly, that he's not just a guy that will run the ball, like run with the football. He can beat you with his arm. And we haven't seen it enough. So that really is the next step for this offense. Also, him under center means I want to see better timing routes with him and his wide receivers. They've got Rashad Bateman. They've got guys. They've got Boykin. They've got guys that Hollywood Brown. They have receivers. Now we need to see them utilize them and make it more balanced so that Lamar can take the next step.
Jeff?
Yeah, listen, when we talk about the evolution of the offense, think this doesn't just help the quarterback, right? This helps receivers, tight ends. Defenses can't disguise and can't do nearly as many things when they know the quarterback's going to turn and all of a sudden they have to wait. So receivers, their routes won't be jumped on the way they have been. Those safeties, we're going to have to be patient instead of being able to fly up for run support, just like Chris just said. So this doesn't just impact one position. Also for the run game, any kind of boots or keeps off of all those things, it ties everything together, Greeny. All of a sudden, those plays that look kind of one-offs all kind of fall in under the same umbrella. So a power run to the right now becomes a power run to the right with a boot off of it. You can begin to build your offense, and it helps everybody kind of come into the same. It becomes seamless for each position. This is a big move. If they can get to a 40 or 30% under center, this would entirely change their offense.
All right, that seems like something worth keeping a very close eye on as we work our way towards the season. In the meantime, I wanted everyone to hear this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are the defending Super Bowl champs. Their coach, Bruce Arians, was on Rich Eisen's show yesterday and was asked if he had any conversations with Tom Brady before the team drafted quarterback Kyle Trask. Listen to what Bruce Arians said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about the whole thing, you know, what we're thinking, and you know, he's so super interested in all that stuff too. So, I mean, yeah, we had a number of conversations, and as we got closer and closer, you know, say, hey, check this guy out, mm-hmm. and see if you like him, and we have a great relationship that way.
That sound you hear is Aaron Rodgers punching a pineapple in Hawaii right now. Yes. As Bruce Arians sits there, Jeff, talking about, oh, yeah, I consulted with Tom on literally everything. I told him we're taking a quarterback. I asked his opinion on the receivers. Jeff, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're watching right now, which hopefully he is, how are you reacting to that?
Relationships matter. I've said it the whole time. That's what Aaron said in the interview with Kenny Mayne a week or so ago. Listen, it's all about guys you go to work with every day. It's building that relationship, that trust, that camaraderie. Let me tell you something. Don't believe that if Bruce Arians, if Tom Brady messed up and gives him he's not going to bust him up about it, right? Like, it brings that camaraderie, that kind of, you know, kind of going back and forth with each other. It's a ton of fun. What do you like? Well, he said, hey, I like tall receivers that are fast. Shocking, right? Like, think about what he's done with tall receivers that are fast. So all of those things, it just goes into exactly what Aaron's saying. That builds culture, camaraderie, a team. It's not just about roster building. It's about relationship building. And that just sings to the ears of Aaron Rodgers, wherever he is, Hawaii, wherever he is. He's watching it. He knows that's what he wanted to hear.
Kimberly, it's all about relationships. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Listen, Bruce Arians was like Suge Knight last year. You want to come to a place where your head coach loves you, the organization is all about you. Tom, come down to Tampa.
Yes.
Now, a year later, they beat the Packers in the NFC title game, and now Arians is still throwing salt on the wound like, oh, who wouldn't think to ask their Hall of Fame QB that?
Yes.
How do you feel, Tom? What do you like? Who do you like? Let me get your input. Bruce Arians, he's not
That's
stupid.
Right.
He knows exactly how to massage egos, but how to make it inclusive enough where you're still able to look at the future, but consider the guys that you have on the team right now and their input. Green Bay could take some notes, clearly.
Chris?
I'm sure this conversation went a lot easier with B.A. talking about taking a quarterback with a first-round pick when you bring back all 22 starters from a Super Bowl team and Antonio Brown.
Yes.
There ain't nothing that Tom Brady wanted down in Tampa that Bruce Arians and Jason Light didn't give to him. So, yeah, that conversation went a lot easier because Tom Brady has the supporting cast that he needs to win a championship. How does he know that? Because he just did it in year one, and that group is only going to continue to improve. So, to Jeff and Kimberly's point, it is about relationship. It is about open lines of communication, but it's also about the quarterback feeling like he has ownership within the organization based on what they're doing around him, what he wants.
This is why, Jeff, I continue not to buy the idea that Aaron Rodgers is just going to show up in July. I continue to say it. You talk about it's all about relationships. That works both ways. Jeff, final word on that. I continue to say I will believe it when I see it. Aaron Rodgers showing up.
I think the competitiveness and the relationships with his teammates, man, listen, at the end of the day, he knows he gives them the best opportunity to win. I understand he's disgruntled with the front office of the Green Bay Packers, but he loves his coaches. He loves his teammates. I think ultimately that competitive nature in him is why he ends up coming back and playing at the beginning of the season.
All right, we'll wait and see. I will say one more time, I will believe that when I see it. Meanwhile, you want to see the Women's College World Series? It starts today. You'll see it right here on ESPN. They're in Oklahoma City for the 30th year. We've got the first two games on ESPN and the ESPN app. First off, at noon Eastern, James Madison will square off against the number one seed Oklahoma. Then it'll be Georgia taking on Oklahoma State. All the action coming your way today on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next, and youth was served in the NBA last night. Stephen A., Max, and Molly talk about how two budding superstars sent very loud messages to the rest of the league. First Take follows Get Up, top of the hour right here on ESPN.